us to think about these verses we read today. I want us also to think about, as we continue our study here, of the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that we thank you that you are a great and awesome God. Our hearts bow down before you. We thank you for the beauty of that which you have created all around us, all the colors of October. Father, lift our hearts to you this day. I take the promise of your Spirit to fill me. Give me the words to say. Father, speak to our hearts. We give you all the praise and all the glory and all the thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We do have that.
I don't think they have your PowerPoint. So did you give us the PowerPoint?
Yeah, I sent it to... I emailed it.
To Tony?
Yeah, to Tony. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. As we look at the Lord's Prayer today, I want you to think about this, lifting up your eyes and see. As you drive around this month of October, lift up your eyes and see all the colors. And as we come to God in prayer, we lift up our eyes and see. I want to remind you, first of all, that the Lord's Prayer was teaching disciples prayer. Remember his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so he gave them this prayer to teach us how to pray. It's a model prayer. I gave you a little pocket Lord's Prayer. It's a pocket prayer you can carry with you. It's a prayer that we can give to God. And then we saw that in this prayer, God is first. It's not me first. God is first. It's a relationship. You know, I saw this picture. I thought this was pretty good. As far as what a relationship, the difference between a relationship and a religion. All right? A religion is a guy in church thinking about fishing. That's a religion. Someone who's in church, their mind is way off. They're thinking about fishing. That's a religion. A relationship is a guy out fishing thinking about God. Whatever we do, whether we're fishing or whatever we're doing, because we have a relationship with God, we're thinking about God. That's a relationship. You see the difference between a religion and a relationship, and that's what this prayer is. We saw that last time. As we begin approaching God in prayer, we saw the name when Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, when those began to call upon the God, call upon the name of the Lord, they called him Yahweh. The Hebrew word for God, Yahweh, or we say sometimes Jehovah, Jehovah God. And then we see how Abraham, God appeared unto him as the Almighty God, and to Job as the Almighty God. And he called upon him as the Almighty God. And then in this prayer, Matthew chapter 6, we found out our Father in heaven. He is our Heavenly Father. And then we also found that he wants us to have a close relationship with him. Just as Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Abba, Father, our heavenly Baba, our Dad, that close relationship we have through Jesus Christ. But this time I want us to take a look at God is holy. And we have, it's interesting how everything comes together. Our young people, and we appreciate so much our young people, and we want to pray for them and the leaders that work with the young people. And in our study on Friday night, our first week, we had the who is God? We talked about who is God. And then this past Friday, God is holy was the topic. And how that goes right along with this prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You are holy. You are holy means to be set apart. God is holy. We talked about in our small groups, what does that mean to be set apart? And I was with the middle school boys. I love those boys. And we were with them and they were saying, you know, there's certain things in our house we don't touch. That's set apart. There's a painting. We don't touch that. That's set apart. And God wants us to set Him apart in our lives. He wants us to exalt Him and lift Him up in our lives and in our heart. He is set apart. That's what holy means. He is set apart. And that's what God wants us to do. Set Him apart. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Holy is Your name. God's name is set apart. It's kind of like the word, we see something that's, thank you very much. The word that a lot of young people like to use is the word awesome. I didn't grow up with that word, but that's a wonderful word. Awesome. It's awe-inspiring. It's wow. You don't know what else to say. It's wow. It's awesome. Now, I was born and grew up in northwest Pennsylvania, about 50 miles from Erie, Lake Erie. Not far from there is Niagara Falls. And as we think about how awesome God is, and we're going to think about our focus, how that helps us to focus in our prayers. So we think about what is our focus, but I want to show you this picture. I don't know, have any of you ever been to Niagara Falls? Ah, a few of you have been there. I've been there several times because it was not too far from where I grew up. If I were to take you on a trip to Niagara Falls, some of you have been there, some of you haven't been there. There are three things I want to... First of all, you look at that falls and it... Wow! It is so beautiful. And not only is it beautiful, but at night... I don't know how well you can see that, but at night they put lights on the falls. And even at night, it's beautiful. And then when you get close to that falls, especially when there's a wind, you can feel the mist coming off from the falls. And then the other thing that amazes me about the Niagara Falls is the roar. The sound of that water coming over, the roar of the sound of the Niagara Falls. Just get a glimpse of Niagara Falls. Then I want you to think about if we could take a trip to heaven and see the throne of God. Now I know the Bible mentions that there are three men who saw the throne of God. And two of them we read today in our scripture, Isaiah and John, saw the throne of God. If you were to look up at the throne of God, if we could go and visit heaven. Now I know sometimes we wish we could go visit our family members that are there. I should say this, that today is my mother's birthday. She would have been 80 years old today. I wish I could visit her today. But if I went there to visit her, I probably wouldn't come back. God has us here for a purpose. But if we could look up at heaven, as Isaiah describes it here, the throne of God, if we could take a look at that and see a glimpse of what that looks like. As we read here the description, as he speaks here of the throne, imagine that you're allowed to take a trip to heaven to spend a day around God's throne. What would you see? Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. and exalted, and seated on a throne. He heard the seraphim saying, those created beings who praise God, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." We know the Holy Father, the Holy Son, the Holy Spirit. As they, the roar, the sound of that praising to God. I don't know how many of you ever heard Handel's Messiah. I just love the music of Handel's Messiah. Every time I hear that, they come to the chorus of Handel's Messiah. Everybody stands and you feel like you're being lifted up into heaven as you hear the praise from that. If we could see God's throne, yes, He's our Heavenly Father. Yes, He is Abba Father, but He is high and lifted up, and He is on His throne. He is holy, holy, holy. And then John, as John looked upon the throne of God, John said this. He heard the seraphim saying, "Holy, holy, holy, the throne of heaven." John said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Holy, holy, holy. We need to set God apart. He is on the throne. We need to exalt Him. And so, that helps us with our focus. You see, when we come to God in prayer, what happens? Many times, all we can see, our focus is on our problems. The only thing we can see is how big our problems are. We see maybe our financial problems. Maybe unemployment. We don't have a job. We have debts. We have poverty around us. Or we see our physical problems. Sickness, suffering, death, again, that's around us. Or we see emotional problems, sadness, depression, despair around us. Or we see spiritual problems of sin and evil and wickedness. And so our eyes are on these problems around us, and they seem so big. But when we come to God in prayer, we need to lift up our eyes and look up and see God who is exalted, and see how big our God is. And God is above all, even our problems. So I want you to think about today, as we come to God in prayer, lift up our eyes. Lift up our eyes and see Him. First of all, Noah or Yahweh. Noah. Sometimes our problems seem so big that we would say, "No way." We throw up, we just kind of give up. No way. But we need to look up and see Yahweh. God has a way. Yahweh, that's His name. Yahweh, Jehovah God. And so we often think no way, we should think Yahweh. Instead of seeing our weakness, we need to lift up our eyes and see God's greatness. Yes, I am weak, but He is strong and powerful. And so first I acknowledge God's greatness, and then I praise Him, and I give thanks for God's strength and power. Just like the words of the hymns book, I like to read these hymns. How great Thou art! How great Thou art! Let me give you an example of this. Paul's weakness. Isaiah had a revelation of God's throne. John had a revelation, but Paul also did. If you look in your Bibles and 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul had a vision and a revelation just like Isaiah and John, verses 1 to 4. He speaks about these revelations that God gave to him. He did not brag about them. He did not boast about it. In fact, he goes on to say that he also had a problem. You see, he had a thorn in the flesh. And so we see the words of this verse here. I'd like you to read these words with me. Set this together. 1 Corinthians 12:9-10. But God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. This is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then am I strong." So many of our English idioms come from the Bible. This thorn in the flesh is also an English idiom. And you may not know where it comes from, but it comes from here. Paul said he had a thorn in the flesh. We do not know for sure what this affliction might be. Some say that Paul had bad eyes. We don't know for sure. You know, it could be an ailment. And I think God purposely doesn't tell us because it could suit any of us. Because we all have ailments. Or it could be a circumstance, a thorn in the flesh. It could be an antagonist. Someone who kind of is a thorn in the flesh. It's at work or whatever. Or something that God allows to keep us humble and to be dependent upon God. That thorn in the flesh. You know, I was interesting here. Paul prayed 3 times that God would remove this thorn in the flesh. Praise God. Sometimes it's His will to remove the thorn in the flesh. Let me tell you, a year ago, my wife had breast cancer. She went in for surgery. And praise God, that surgery went well and they were able to remove that thorn in her flesh. And then a few months later, this past January, she had to have surgery again to remove one of her parathyroids. Did I say that right? And praise God, that went well. And that was removed. And sometimes God in His grace removes that thorn in the flesh. So in 6 months' time, God removed 2 thorns in her flesh. To God be the glory. And there are other times that we have a thorn in the flesh that God allows that to be part of our lives, that He might show His strength to us. I'm diabetic. I have to wear an insulin pump. And it's literally a thorn in the flesh. There's a needle that goes in there. It's a thorn in the flesh. And I have to learn to live with it by God's grace. And that's what Paul, he had to learn to live with his thorn in the flesh. Now there's a young man. See, God wants to show us His power. There's a young man that many of you may have heard of. Nick is his name. I'm not sure if I'm going to pronounce his last name correct. Vujicic. I'm not sure. He's from Australia. And can you imagine getting through your busy day without hands or legs? Can you picture your life without the ability to walk, to care for your basic needs, or even embrace those you love? You see, Nick here, without any medical explanation or warning, he was born in 1982 in Australia without arms and without legs. This Friday at our young people's meeting, we're going to take a short look at his video of his life story and his testimony. So I want to encourage you young people to come and see that. It's amazing. You see, his early days were difficult. Throughout his childhood, Nick could only deal with the typical challenges of school and adolescence, but he also struggled with depression and loneliness. Yet, he is an author, he's written books, he is a musician, he plays music, he's an actor, and his hobbies include fishing, painting, and swimming. He has a thorn in the flesh, but it doesn't stop him. He goes around the world speaking and giving his testimony. God may remove that thorn in the flesh. If that's His glory, that's His will. But God may allow that thorn in the flesh to be with us to also show us His strength and His power. So young people, I hope you come. Life without limits. That's the story of Nick. No limbs, but a life without limits. How many times we let little things stop us? But I always think of Nick. A life without limits. No way or Yahweh. And then I want you to think about bad or good. And oftentimes we think of bad or good. We think about how bad it is when we should think about how good God is. You know, we are really in good hands. We may think about how bad our situation is, but we need to lift up our eyes and see God's goodness. It is bad, but He is good. Look around the world around us. We often see what's bad, but we need to lift up our eyes and see that God is good. And we need to acknowledge that. We need to praise that. Thank God for His goodness. Now, I want you to think about this situation here, Joseph. One of my favorite characters in the Bible. Joseph, you talk about a bad situation. Joseph's brothers hated him. And in their eyes, they thought they were justified in hating him because of his dreams, because of the special favor their father gave by giving him a coat of many colors. But they hated him so much, they sold him as a slave to Egypt. So it not only was bad, but it got worse. And then he was purchased by a Potiphar, who became his boss, and he worked hard for his boss. He was promoted because of that. But then, his boss's wife, she was an evil woman. And she continually tempted him to do what was wrong. He said, I cannot sin against God. I cannot sin against my boss by doing this. And then she lied about his integrity. She falsely accused him of doing that which is wrong. And then he was put in prison. I mean, it was bad. It was worse. I guess the English word we have next is worst. He was in prison. I mean, his situation had gotten worse. And so, while he was in prison, the Bible tells us that God was with him. God was with him. You know, he saw the goodness of God. Joseph finally interpreted a dream of two men in prison. There were those who worked for the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And finally, one of them was restored, but it was still a couple years later. Joseph had to wait. And then Pharaoh had a dream that nobody could tell. And so his butler said, oh yeah, I remember in prison there was someone there who helped me interpret my dream. You should ask Joseph to come and interpret your dream. And so Joseph did that. And after interpreting the dream of Pharaoh, he told Pharaoh, gave him wise advice, you need to set aside during the 7 years of plenty for the 7 years of famine that are to come. And Pharaoh said, well, who can I make my prime minister? Who can I make? Who can do this job? And Pharaoh made Joseph the second in command. You see, his family, his brothers had to come to Egypt begging for food. And his dreams came to pass. And so, Joseph said these words to his brothers. Joseph acknowledged, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Joseph did not become bitter because of all his bad circumstances. But he acknowledged God and he thanked God that God meant it for good. He lifted up his eyes so he no longer saw his troubles and his problems. He lifted up his eyes and he saw God. Sinful or merciful? Yes, God is holy. He is set apart from all evil and sin because He wants us to know that He is perfect. And oftentimes, we see how sinful I am, or we see the sin and the evil around us. And we should also lift up our eyes and see not only God is holy, but that He is merciful and loving. God is holy, loving, and merciful. So instead of seeing our sin, which we must acknowledge, we lift up our eyes and see God's holiness and mercy. One of the best stories that tells us this is a story that Jesus told. The story of the prodigal. The son's sinfulness. He begged his father to give him his inheritance. As a young man, he thought he knew it all. He took that inheritance and he wasted it in wild living style. He wasted his life in sin and a downward spiral that led him to the only job he could find, feeding pigs. Can you imagine feeding pigs? But God used that to waken him up. As he was feeding the pigs, he began to think about, even my father's servants are treated better than this. And I must go back to my father and tell him how wrong I was, how sinful I was, and ask for the father's forgiveness. And I'm not worthy to be his son, but if he could only let me be his servant. And so you remember how the son went back to the father. And as the son went back to the father, we read these words about the father's love and mercy. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. And then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your servants." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And so we see God's mercy and God's love as well as God's holiness. I want to share, as we think about this, I want to share a few words of Max Lucado. He's talking about how good God is. As I boarded a plane last week, the pilot called my name. He was standing in the cockpit entrance. He greeted passengers. "Well, hello, Max." I looked up. It was my friend Joe, my old friend. He is the Methuselah of the airlines. All right, Methuselah, if you don't remember, is the oldest man in the Bible. He's been flying forever. He flew transports in Vietnam, and he's logged a bookful of hours as a commercial pilot. He's faced every flight crisis from electrical storms to empty fuel tanks. And he is a good pilot. And he is a friend, a good friend. He's not my neighbor, but if he were, our property values would increase. If I were in the hospital, he'd keep a bedside vigil. He would come and visit me in the hospital. If I were on vacation, he'd keep my dog. If I offended him, he'd keep his cool until he could talk it through. If he could do no more, he could do no more tell a lie than a mosquito could sing the national anthem. I don't know. No one has ever heard the mosquito sing the national anthem. All right. He never swears, gets drunk, cheats, or swindles. He is that good. He is good. Good in his skill and good in heart. We chatted for a few minutes, and then I went to my seat, and with a sense of assurance, what could I request? I thought, the pilot is experienced and proven, and even though he is my tried and true friend, I am in good hands. The knowledge came in handy. An hour into the flight, we hit a wall of winds. People gasped. Dentures rattled. The attendant told us to check our seatbelts and to pray. I've had smoother roller coaster rides. Now, I know some of you have been on airplanes. Maybe you've experienced this rough type of a ride he's talking about. Unlike the other passengers, however, I stayed calm. I didn't have a death wish, but I had an advantage. I knew the pilot. I knew Joe. I knew his heart, and I trusted his skill. Joe can handle this, I told myself. The storm was bad, but the pilot was good. So much so, as one can relax in a windstorm, I did. And so they landed, and he thanked his friend. But you know, it's a stormy world out there. Every day brings all kinds of turbulence. The question during these troubling times is this: do you have a good pilot? And the response of the Bible is yes. Yes, God is good. Yes, God is holy. Yes, God is merciful. And yes, God is great. So I want you to think about this today. When we come to prayer, what is our focus? All we can see are the problems around us, or can we lift up our eyes and see God? You see, prayer changes our focus. Prayer changes our focus from our big problems to our big God. What is it you see when you come to God in prayer? If you keep your eyes down, all you can see is the problems around you. But we need to be reminded. Prayer reminds us that the size of our problems is nothing compared to the size of our God. Let's bow in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye is closed. I don't know what you're going through right now. You may be going through a big storm. Some big problems. And it's hard to, that's all you can see right now, the problems you're in, the storm you're in. But I want to encourage you right now in prayer, lift up your eyes and see God. He is high, He is exalted, and He is above all our problems. Lift up your eyes and see Yahweh. Lift up your eyes and see the God who loves us and is merciful. Lift up your eyes and see the God who is good. Oh, Father in heaven, we come to You. Whatever problem we're facing, whatever difficulty we are in the middle of, Lord, our problem is not bigger than You. We thank You that You are bigger than our problems. So, Lord, today, right now, help us to lift up our eyes and to see You. Oh God, You're Yahweh. You are the high and exalted. You are the awesome God. You are holy, holy, holy. And You are good and You are merciful. Oh God, we thank You. And in prayer, we lift up our eyes to see You. In Jesus' name, amen.